This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see.
You might be wondering, why are we playing Adele? I have a reason. No, she's not coming to concert. I would see that, though, if she was. Keep it going. Let's play this a little bit. All right? Come on, Josh. Turn it up. I like this song. It's good. It's a good song. She's got an amazing voice, right? I mean, we wish the fire were starting. It's kind of ending a little bit. This is Rolling in the Deep. This is by Adele. And we're going to get to the chorus here so you can hear it all because you're probably familiar with it. Plus, I just love Adele's voice, so we can do it. Forgive me, I just have to hear a little bit more of this now. Here we go. I mean, so many different ways to take the lyrics and actually spin it into what we're about to talk about and I'm about to say. This song, Josh Schmidt, the number one song, Billboard's top charts in 2011. This was the number one song basically the last time the Buffalo Sabres made the playoffs. It's still, I mean, it holds. It's a great song, right? It holds.
I mean, I remember when this was number one. I remember listening to it every time you turned on the radio. This was the only song that was playing. So I remember, very distinctly. But yeah, it's been a long time.
I'd totally go see Adele in concert if I could. I think she's in Vegas a lot now, so that's something I might want to do, actually, that I'm listening to the song and like, oh, you know what? Maybe today, later today, get off the radio, do the show today, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and maybe flip Adele on in the old headphones there. Might do that, because she's amazing, and she's still very relevant and good, but back in 2011, she was really on top of the charts, and this song was number one. The number one song, I guess, in the world, worldwide charts, I don't know, whatever, America, either way. And this is Adele, Rolling in the Deep. We're going to have a couple more things for you as we talk a little bit today about this. The Sabres missing the playoffs for a 14th straight year. We knew this was going to happen. It was official last night. And it is kind of, I don't know, I always get the words mixed up, coincidental, and ironic. But I guess I think in this case it's ironic that they're eliminated during a time where they have been playing really good hockey, actually. Right? I mean, like, last night was another really nice win. And I get it. Like, it doesn't mean anything. And I hear people go, oh, who cares? It's the heroic run to, you know, mediocrity at the end of the season and getting to 500. Okay, I get all that. I don't know. I mean, I still enjoy watching them play, and I'm not sitting here rooting for losses. I understand the wins don't really mean anything, but I'd rather see them win than lose, no matter what. And they're playing really well. And here we go again, Josh, which is kind of sucking you back in, thinking that it means something for next year, when in all reality, it kind of doesn't, you know?
Yeah, I'm right there, too, because it's tough, because the past few years have been this, where you're feeling good about going into the offseason, then you come in next year and you just start really low. And it's got to stop one of these years, right? Like, we got to maybe buy into it and be ready for it, and then boom, there it is. You know, maybe we should all just not buy into it, and then next year it'll actually happen. But I the way they're playing right now, it's like, it's great. I love, like you said, you love watching it. Like, I don't really care where the draft pick is personally, because this is a draft where if it's not in the top three, just trade it away. Like, I don't even think, even if it was in the top three, you would keep it, because at this point, we've all got prospect fatigue. We're all sick and tired of seeing, oh, who's going to come up here in 2 to 3 years. Just trade someone away, or trade the pick away, I should say, and go get someone that can help you next season. That's what I'm hoping that this win streak, whatever you want to, like, however you want to look at it, this winning run here, I hope that that instills them with the, hey, let's just worry about who's on the team next year, not who's on the team in 5 years. Because we've already got that, right? Like, all these guys are locked up. Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin, even like Matias Samuelsson, they're all locked up long term. Whether you keep them or not is still unknown, but especially with a guy like Samuelsson. But like, looking at these prospects and picks anymore, it's like you got to start moving into the now and not into the future. That's what I hope that this run does, but it never has before. So like, I don't know how to feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they've had end-of-season runs before, but this feels a little different, and I don't know if I'm just forcing myself to say that or want to believe it, because they are playing so well, and here comes James Reimer, right out of, oh my God, James Reimer, look at what this guy's doing. By the way, Sabres are now 35-36-6, all right? So if you add that up, it's really 35-42 under 500, but they have just as many almost one shy regulation win as regulation losses, 35-36. They are 8-1 in their last 9 games. Okay. And did you look at, do you know where they are right now, Josh, in the NHL draft standings?
What pick they would have, I think, around based, like, without the lottery? 7 or 8.
They're 9 now. They're 9.
Wow.
Okay. But what's funny is I went to Tankathon. If you go to Tankathon and hit simulate lottery, bam, bam. It took me 2 clicks, and they're number one. I'm looking at them right now on top of my in my page, and that's what their chance is, only 5% to get the number one pick, but they are still actually alive for the number one pick. That could happen, but I think you got to refresh my memory. They can get it from that spot, but otherwise you can only go up a certain amount, and there's only a certain amount of teams that can actually get the number one spot. But I didn't think 9 could get up to 1. I have to refresh my rules here on the lottery, but apparently they can, because I just hit sim lottery at Tankathon. I have it. I'll take a screenshot. It actually happened. They moved up 8 spots, 5.0%. So they did win again last night. And how about the season that Tage Thompson is putting together? I mean, first of all, the Sabres have won 5 straight games. They've won 8 of their last 9 games. The only loss in this span was, oddly, at Philadelphia Flyers, who are not good, and the Sabres lost 7-4. They couldn't stop anything in that game. You think about the goals they've been scoring here in this 9-game run. 5-3. Okay, here we go. 5-3-7-4-8-5-3-6-3 last night, and a shutout for James Reimer last night. Who, by the way, did he win his 7th in a row last night? Is that his 7th win in a row?
Yeah, and that's career best, too.
And it ties the Sabres record with Gary Desjardins, it ties several others, but I think Desjardins won 9 in a row, I believe is what they said last night in the broadcast.
Yep, it was funny. Me and my dad were trying to guess like who that was, and he got it right away. It was so crazy. He's been a Sabres fan for life, and obviously, you know, I wasn't alive when Gary Desjardins was playing for the Sabres, but Yeah, I thought it was going to be Miller.
No, I mean, he predates me, really, too. I thought it was Tom Barrasso when they first brought it up. And the reason why is I remember there was a stretch in Barrasso's career where they had a really nice long winning streak. And I'm like, oh, I think it's Barrasso. He was in this winning streak here. But it wasn't him, obviously. And you did have Barrasso and Sove. They kind of, you know, traded off a little bit. So that's probably why. And then, of course, you get to Ryan Miller and you get to Dominic Hasek and you think it's got to be one of these guys. Marty Biron had a couple nice runs as well. I even thought Don Edwards. I did not think Gary Desjardins. It goes back a long time. He was a goalie in the 70s, and I think maybe first part of the 80s, but goalie in the 70s for sure for the Sabres. We're going back five decades here, actually, for that to happen. James Reimer, I mean, and it does kind of get you a little bit more to a question I'm going to ask Paul Hamilton. And by the way, we'll have Paul Hamilton joining me here at 10:30 a.m. on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good morning to you. Sal Capaccio with you on a Wednesday morning. Paul's going to join me at 10:30. And one of the questions I really want to dive into with Paul is what they really might want to do with the goaltending situation. Because, I mean, I think we're to the point now where do you entertain, and I think they at least entertain, yeah, I'll just ask it. Do you entertain moving UPL? Because I understand that James Reimer is older and it's probably not sustainable. But eventually, this is going to be Devin Levi's net, right, Josh? I mean, I think eventually it's going to be Devin Levi's net. The question is it way too early to say, oh, yeah, you pivot to Devin Levi next year and you just bring back Levi and James Reimer at his age and he becomes the backup and maybe even – because then you could be back in the same spot you're in right now with goaltending, and that's not a good spot to be in.
Yeah, I think it has to eventually become Levi's net, but I just don't know if Reimer is the right choice to pair with him. If you let's say you do move on from UPL, it's probably got to have a better goaltender to pair with Levi, almost a 1A 1B situation, rather than resting on Levi as your starter next year.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. I think you're right about that. I've always wanted, and it's a little more like I'm kind of biased towards it because I've always rooted for Levi to be that guy and thought that he could be that guy. And now we're in the spot where he's playing really well at Rochester and it's time. But I also understand and respect the fact, and everybody will tell you, goalies at that age, it's just hard for them to become the number one guy. I mean, we kind of thought that maybe last year and into this year, and way too soon for him. Even next year might be too soon, but you're right. I think what you're saying is right, Josh, which is, it's not out of the question he could become like a primary goalie for you next year, but to really just hand him the net and not have him be able to lean on another veteran with him, and then who is that veteran? But this all would depend on, too, with UPL, because does it do Levi any good to be the straight-up backup next year and not getting the reps in Rochester, right? He's going to be an RFA. That was the talk this year. So I think goaltending is a really, really big, interesting spot for the Sabres. It already was, but now we're talking about what Reimer has been doing and what UPL has not been doing this year. And I think you're getting into a really interesting spot here. Money shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't be if they were willing to spend it, the cash part, because they have enough money under the cap, on the cap, to be able to go out and get somebody that can be an upgrade if you want and younger over Reimer and have Devin Levi if you want to move on from Lukanen, whatever it is. They can do all that. But that's really kind of becoming the issue. It's not scoring, and it shouldn't be scoring. And finally, it's not scoring, right? You go back, you know, earlier this season, scoring goals was a problem. Do you remember the first three games of the year, Josh? Do you remember they opened up against the Devils over in Europe, right? A couple of games they came back against the Kings. Do you remember those games?
Yeah, and they scored three goals in all three over the course of the three games, and it was tough. It was
brutal.
Offense was brutal.
Yep. They scored one goal against the Devils, another one goal against the Devils, one goal against the Kings. Then they started to pick it up. I'm looking at their game logs right now. There was a stretch where they were scoring 5-4. And then there was another stretch where it was just wildly inconsistent. They would have stretches of 1-2 and even shutout. They got shut out in 2 out of 3 games in November. This was when the 13-game losing streak started. During the 13-game losing streak, they could not really score goals. They finally did when they ended it with a 7-1 win against the Islanders. But during the 13-game losing streak, it's no goals, 3, no goals, 4, 2-2. They did have a 6-5 loss in there. 2-2, 3-1, 3-1. Like, they had a bunch of stretch where they didn't score over 3 goals a game. And now suddenly, they're just lighting up the scoreboard and lighting the back of the net and the lamp. And that should never have been an issue with this team, scoring goals. And finally, it's not, right? Special teams and goaltending really have been. Defense, too, right? How you want to parse that. But special teams and goaltending have really hurt them And then now it's starting to get better. The goaltending's getting better with Reimer. Special teams have been better. Not great. Power play's been better over the last, you know, couple of months at least since the new year. And then obviously shorthanded Alex Tuck doing a wonderful job. Another shorthanded goal last night. He leads the NHL in shorthanded goals. So Sabres officially eliminated from playoff contention. They will miss the playoffs for the 14th straight season. The actual date of the Sabres' last playoff game, was that Easter 2011? No, I don't think so. Was it? Am I misremembering here? Or was it the one right after Easter? Was that what it was? Because they played at home. I'm going to look at this right now. I'm bringing this up for a reason here. The actual date. Do you remember the last Sabres playoff game? 2011?
I do. I don't remember the date, but I do remember watching it and just... Yeah. It was.
I think. I think it was the Easter game was here, and I think, and then they went to Philly and lost. Right. So here it is, April 26th of 2011. Okay. So April 26th. The reason why I'm bringing it up, the last playoff game for the Sabres, they actually do have a 3 month jump. They're better than the New York Jets. The New York Jets' last playoff game, Josh, was January 23rd of 2011. 3 months later, and 3 days later, the Sabres played their last playoff game.
Still not the
longest
drought.
Those are the two teams.
Still not the longest drought. We're good.
That's right. That's exactly the point I'm making. Yes, if it makes you feel any better at all, which I don't think it should necessarily, but we did have a Buffalo team a while ago, the Bills, who had the longest ever... The longest current playoff drought in all of North American professional sports. That is not the case. They have the second longest. Did you see? Don't look right now. Do you know the other sports? The longest playoff droughts in the other sports right now. Do you know them?
Ooh.
So you got the Jets at 14 years. You got the Sabres at 14 years. Do you know the MLB longest drought and the NBA longest drought?
I don't know them, but I'm going to take a guess that because I think I remember seeing this graphic recently that both sports in the MLB and the NBA are around like 7 or 8 years, I think.
A little longer than that.
Okay. I'm not too sure of that.
Saw it recently, but maybe a couple years ago. Because
yeah, maybe that's true.
The
yeah.
Major League Baseball, believe it or not, even with Mike Trout and Otani for all those years, the Angels have not made it in 10 years.
Yeah, no, actually, now that you say that,
amazing.
I remember that, because our own Zach Jones is an Angels fan,
yes.
And he always reminds me of his many playoff droughts he goes through.
And then you have the Charlotte Hornets, who have not been in the NBA playoffs in 9 years. Are they going to make it this year? I don't think so. I'm not up to date on the Charlotte Hornets standings here. Where are they right now? Regular season. Charlotte Hornets. Can you look at that for me? I'm trying to find it, and I can't, for some reason, I can't pull that up. Okay, here we go. Where are the Charlotte Hornets right now? Yeah, they're not going to make it. They're 19-60. Whoop!
Oof.
Not the worst record in the NBA, though, by the way.
Really? Wow. What? did Utah Jazz, 16-63. Wow.
I did not realize this with the Utah Jazz. 16-63. I mean, it's actually the third worst record because the Wizards are 17-62. And then the Hornets are 19-60.
I need you to go look at the Utah Jazz ESPN results page, because they have had probably three different losing streaks with at least 8 games in each one. It is... a lot of L's on one page, that's for sure. This is a crazy thing to look at. If anyone out there wants to look at this, from March to now, the Jazz have won one game. Between March 2nd and April 9th, the Jazz have won one game over the Washington Wizards. It was 128-112. Every other game they've played between now and then has been a loss.
They started the season 0-6. And then you're right. They've gone. Okay, they've lost 9 straight. Yep, there's a 10 straight right there. I'm looking at their reference page now. There's a 9 straight. There's a 10 straight. There's an 8 straight. I said they started the season with 6 straight. Wow. You're right. 6, 8, 9, and 10 game losing streaks that the Utah Jazz have had. They're going to miss the playoffs as well. But the Bills, I'm sorry, the Sabres have the second longest active streak drought of making the playoffs. They have not made it since April 26th, 2011. It is better, though, than the New York Jets, who haven't made it since January 23rd of 2011. 2011. How old were you in 2011?
I was 12 years old. I was in sixth grade, and it was funny. I was at my parents' last night watching the game, and somehow we like got to looking at old pictures, and pictures from 2012 were what we were looking at. And I have on a shirt in a picture where it says Buffalo Sabres Playoffs 2011, and it's got the roster on the back. I remember the shirt very well, but it was just kind of funny, you know, given the theme of the night and the theme of today, that I was looking at those pictures last night. It's crazy. I don't remember specifics about the year, but I just remember, you know, the excitement of going to the playoffs and then never seeing it ever again until who knows when.
One thing that stood out to me when I was doing a little research on this morning, I haven't seen many films from 2011 because I went and looked at the top like box office hits. So 2011, folks, all right? Adele, Rolling in the Deep, was the number one song in 2011. The number one movie, Josh Schmidt, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Ooh. Wow.
That is the, I'm sorry, in gross. And it's not the Academy Award winner, like Best Picture. In gross, you know, revenue, income, whatever. So people went to watch this the most. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. You seen it?
I did not see it the year it came out, but I think I've seen that one. I've tried to watch all the Harry Potter films, but they kind of, sometimes they get meshed together. But I remember when that came out, my cousin's a huge Harry Potter fan. She waited at the theater for like the release. She got there and like waited in line. She was like first in line. She was waiting there for like 5 hours or something. It was crazy. But I remember when that movie came out just specifically because of that. So that's pretty crazy. I didn't know that was the movie of the year though, or well, grossing movie of the year that year.
The top five movies, the top five movies in 2011 were all of a franchise. Okay. So Harry Potter, right? There's franchise there. And the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Number two, Transformers Dark of the Moon.
That's a good one. I like that movie a lot.
Obviously, that's part of a franchise. Mm-hmm. Also, number three, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
That movie came out in 2011?
Yes.
Wow.
Number four, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1.
No, never seen any of those.
Okay. Number five, actually tied for five, looks like, pretty much. Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, and Kung Fu Panda 2.
Interesting.
There's a new Mission Impossible out. Mission Impossible has been going on since like the late, I mean, for many, many years, but the Tom Cruise version, I think since the late 90s.
I'm a big Mission Impossible guy. I saw the last one.
Those are good movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good movies for sure. So, yeah, 2011. A lot happened in 2011. We'll revisit 2011 as we go on today because that was a better time for the Buffalo Sabres. But honestly, like last night was a good time. It's a good time down at the arena. Steve Tasker did a really good job on the broadcast as well. He was between the... I've always had this idea. Now I'm kind of mad because I'm like, man, why didn't I bring this to them? But no, Steve Tasker's a bigger draw, no doubt. But I've always thought we should do a little swap where I go in between the benches and Rob Ray comes on the Bills sidelines for a game. That would be pretty cool, right? And then I saw Tasker down there. I'm like, oh, man, that's my idea, but it's good. Steve did a great job. I think better than I could do. I would say that. He was amazing last night. So that was pretty fun to watch that with Steve Tasker down there and to be a part of a win, right? And 3-0, and the Sabres get a shutout with James Reimer. So we are in the spot now where you're feeling good about how they're playing, but they're not going to make the playoffs. And Lindy Ruff said after the game, he's disappointed. Of course, he is. He's disappointed. He said, and his quote basically was, we can't do anything about that now, but what we can do is continue to work on our game. And again, I'll say, that's great, and it makes you feel good, but guess what happens as of April 17th or whenever the last game is? I think that might be the date. After that, Tage has 0 goals again. And James Reimer doesn't have any, you know, well, I guess he could still have a win streak, but, you know, the Sabres are not in the playoffs again, and they're not playing. Their season's over. and everybody's going to go where they go, and guys are going to play in different international competitions, and guys are going to be different. Who's going to come up? Who's going to not be here? Who's going to get traded? And we start the cycle over again. And we hope and wish that it's different next year. It's kind of what it's been for the last 14 years here in Buffalo. So it's fun to watch and cool to see. It's hard to get super excited about it because we've been down here before. Now, if you put yourself back in, let's just say they had been to the playoffs over the last whatever years, and they won a couple rounds here or there, and this was, let's say, the third year of missing the playoffs. It'd feel way different because you'd be like, oh, they're finally back on track. Here we go. Like, yeah, all right, here we go. They've missed it for a few years. Now look at this team they have. Nice core group. They're getting there. But that's not the case because we've been kind of pulled into this before over the 14 years when they had Eichel and O'Reilly and Kane and Reinhardt and that group, and you're like, oh my God, they have all this talent. And then they had times where they were playing well and they were coming close, and then they came within 1 point a few years ago. We know that. We've had times like this, and it's just never materialized. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton about it. He's going to come aboard here in just about 5 minutes after the next timeout, so we'll do that with him. At 11 a.m. today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Matt Bove, my co-host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the podcast. Also, Channel 7 WKBW-TV sports director. The reason why I'm going to have Matt on, we are going to talk about, tease, promote, and give you some insight into our podcast we recorded yesterday, which is available now. I don't want you to listen now. You can wait till after the show is over. After this show, you know, whenever you get a chance, when you're not, you know, when you're bumping around, driving around, doing some house cleaning, go listen to It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the latest version. If it's in audio form, obviously, podcast, wherever you pod, that's iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey app, but also on my YouTube channel. Go to Sal Sports on YouTube. You'll see it there. It's our annual podcast we do with NFL schedule maker Mike North. He's one of them. They have a team there. It's an hour and a half long, folks. Speaking of watching these movies, it's a movie, but that's okay. I think it will. Your time will be passed very quickly listening because we get into a lot of stuff when it comes to the NFL schedule. And I got some thoughts I want to bring to you today on the show about it and talk with Matt about it when we get with him at 11 a.m. So we'll do that at 11 o'clock. Matt Bove from Channel 7 and my co-host, It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We'll talk about our podcast we did with Mike North, which is available now on all podcast and social media platforms at YouTube channel, I should say, and your audio platforms where you pod. But before we do that, Paul Hamilton joins me. Sabres shutout victory last night. They've won 8 of their last 9 games, but officially eliminated for the 14th straight season from playoff contention. We'll get with Paul Hamilton after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I did not realize how old this song was. So this is Moves Like Jagger from Maroon 5 featuring Christina Aguilera. It was number 9 on the list of Billboard's top charts in the year 2011, the last time the Buffalo Sabres made the playoffs. Paul, you know this song, Moves Like Jagger? It was number 9 the last time the Sabres made the playoffs.
One of my least favorite songs of all time. I despise this song.
Just the song itself, or
yes, I never liked
Maroon 5.
No, Maroon 5.
What about Jagger? You like Mick Jagger? You like?
I like Mick Jagger, but I don't like this song.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a big fan of the song either. We tried to pick something. I could have gone with Super Bass by Nicki Minaj. I could have gone with Grenade by Bruno Mars. Let's see what else is on here. Just the Way You Are. Bruno Mars was big that year.
Yeah, Bruno Mars would have been good.
There you go. You like Bruno Mars? I like Bruno Mars. Yeah, I'd see him in concert. We opened up with Adele. The number one song in 2011, Paul, was Rolling in the Deep by Adele. You like Adele?
That's fine. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Very cool. It's been a long time since the Sabres made the playoffs, and it's going to be a lot longer. Last night after the game, by the way, Paul Hamilton of the Western Hotline, I thought Lindy struck the right tone. He was clearly disappointed. He said the season's been a disappointment, but they can't do anything about that now, but they can keep working on their game. What'd you feel about the head coach and the way kind of he's approached this last stretch with the way they played, given the balance of the fact that they're not making the playoffs?
Yeah, Mike asked him about, you know, his 900th win, which is one away, and he just right away cut him off, you know, in the pregame show and said, no, I don't care. I'm sorry, but I don't care at all. He goes, he focused on is how he has not been able to fix this, or he didn't fix it in time, I think is the way to put it. And all he's focused on is to moving this team forward and getting this team to the playoffs next year and getting this team to play. You know, we've been debating, and I know I did talk with you about why isn't Luukkonen playing? Why aren't they letting him? You know, it doesn't do him any good to sit around. You got to get him right, you know, maybe for next year. And Lindy Ruff's answer to that is we're trying to win right now, and that we're trying to learn how to win. We're trying to learn how to play the game the right way. And if you're going to learn how to do it on a consistent basis, you have to do it game after game after game, period after period after period. And that's what they've done for the most part in March here. Too little, too late, as we all know. But that's his focus, and that's all he's thinking about, is getting this team to continue to feel what it's like to play the right way. Feel what it's like when you do play the right way. You get scoring chances. You can score goals. This team has moved up the goal-scoring ladder in the NHL, and it's something that they do pretty well now. Earlier in the season, they didn't do it very well. But so that's, you know, what he is focused on right now. It's like muscle memory. The more you do it, the more it becomes habit. What was their habit for this year and last year? Since this group has been together for 3 years, something goes wrong, panic. Sit back. Don't be aggressive. In your net. Lose the game. That's what they always would revert to. And that's what he's trying to change, that it's muscle memory. When things go bad, you revert to, okay, fine, calm down. We still have time. We can get back into this. Or we just took a one-goal lead, or we just tied the game. How's that one? All right, you know what? If we got to win the game in overtime, fine. It's not a big deal. We don't have to go running around trying to score a goal right here and now. Uh-oh, we don't want to go to overtime. If you got to, fine. That's part of the game. If you win, you still get your 2 points. You know, if it goes to a shootout, fine. You still get your 2 points, you know, if you win there. And that's what he's trying to do, is instead of the muscle memory being, uh-oh, it's, all right, team score goals. We'll be fine. And that's what we've seen in this streak, you know, where they've won 10 out of 13. They've won 16 of their last 20 at home. You know, they get a lead, and they're fine with it. They had to be patient last night. You know, they got outshot. I don't think they got outplayed. My eyes did not tell me what the stats told me. And usually they're about the same. You know, whatever, you know, if the team gets severely outshot, you see them get severely outplayed. And the eye test and the number test usually are pretty close. Last night was the outlier. The Sabres got dominated in shots and shot attempts. I don't think they got dominated in the least. As a matter of fact, I agree with Lindy Ruff. I think they had the better chances. So, you know, but they had to be patient and wait out Carolina. If they would have gotten all, oh, Jesus, nothing. We got to get on the board here or whatever and get all goofy about the whole thing. You know, maybe they wouldn't have been able to win that hockey game. But, you know, they got timely saves, which has been part of this. They played the right way, which has been part of this. They defended fairly well, and they didn't. When they didn't, they got the big save. You know, and they scored timely goals. And they kept on it. You know, they kept getting opportunities. They had some bad luck around the net. I mean, Jack Quinn could get that two-on-one chance 100 times, and one time what happened. I mean, it just went off his stick weird. I don't know if the puck sat up, but he basically shot the puck into the corner and hit the wide-open net to put it in. McLeod put it, you know, he put a good deke on it. And he had some open net, but the goaltender came out at him so much, he didn't have a lot of open net, and he hit the side of the net. You know, those things were happening to them. But, again, those things were happening to them earlier in the year, and then they go, oh. And then all of a sudden the other team scores. And then all of a sudden you lose the hockey game. So those are the things that Lindy Ruff is trying to pound into their heads right now. And having some success, it's just, again, too little, too late.
All right, James Reimer, 7 wins in a row. I don't believe he qualifies. He hasn't played enough games for NHL actual official leaders, but I was looking at his numbers. If he did, he'd be near the top 10 in both save percentage and goals against average right now. Far cry from that from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Obviously not the season the Sabres envisioned or he did for him. They're getting themselves into an interesting position here, Paul, because an RFA and Devon Levi sitting in Rochester having a good season. UPL, 4.5 going forward here. James Reimer at 37 years old has clearly been outplaying him. What do you see happening, and how do they need to approach the offseason goaltending situation?
Well, this is very unfortunate, because at the end of last year, it looked like their goaltending was solved. It looked like Luukkonen had taken the number one position and deserved it. I mean, in his last 35 games, his numbers were on real near the top or on top in some cases of the league. And he had the second most games from January 1st on behind Tampa Bay's goaltender. So it looked like they had their number one goaltender. And then it was a very inconsistent season for him this year. He had some really good games, and he's had games that he'd want back, and where he just – that was the biggest thing that I would always talk about with you guys last year, is he always seemed to be there to make the big save at the big time, you know, when he got hot. And it really made him into what I thought was the number one goaltender. That is what the problem has been this year for him. He hasn't been able to make the big save at the big time as much as he did last year. So
Paul Hamilton, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm still here. I just didn't want to cough in your ear.
Oh, I got you. I thought I lost you for a minute, but go ahead.
Nope. I was trying.
Go ahead. I totally get it.
I just didn't want to cough.
Let me just say this, Paul. Is there a scenario where you could see the Buffalo Sabres and Kevin Adams envisioning, and how likely would it be that they look to move on from UPL, have Devin Levi as Josh said earlier, like a 1A or 1B, and lean on another veteran, whether that's Reimer or someone else who is younger than Reimer?
Well, I would hate to give up on a goaltender after what he did last year, and then it's just one season after. But they're in flux right now. You don't want to go into the season with ifs. Well, can Devin Levi bring his all-star AHL season into the NHL? Will it translate? It hasn't before, but I don't think they developed him right before. I think they have now, where at the end of last season and this year, you know, they basically left him alone in Rochester. He played a little bit up here in Buffalo, but, you know, they basically left him alone in Rochester, and that was, I think, the right move, and let him go through this year in the playoffs. And he's an all-star goaltender down there. I think he's now up to 7 shutouts, if I'm not mistaken, which would lead the league. And but again, will it translate to the NHL? His resume says it will, but that doesn't mean it actually will. Can Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen work on his game over the summer and recapture what he did last year? If not, do you bring James Reimer back? And James Reimer loves playing for this team, and you can tell it's not just, you know, player speak. He really does. He really enjoys playing here. He really likes these guys. He believes in these guys. So he might welcome the opportunity to come back. And if you're honest with him and say, look, if these two kids come to training camp and they prove that they can play in the NHL, we will waive you and give you an opportunity to play somewhere else, you know, and look at it that way, and let him weigh his options that way. He might be open to that. But, you know, do you want your starting goaltender next year to be 38 years old, which is what he would be next year when that happens? I mean, is that – you got two youngsters, which you've put a lot of money and development time in, and one was part of the Sam Reinhart trade, and the other, you know, was a higher draft pick. You've put a lot into trying to develop these guys throughout the years. And you want to all of a sudden wind up with the 38-year-old goaltender as your starting goaltender. Those are the things they have to weigh with not knowing what these two kids can accomplish for them.
Alex Tuch leads the NHL in shorthanded goals. Just his game overall this year, where you've seen it, and how he fits into what Lindy's trying to do going forward with this group next year as well.
Well, the thing with Alex Tuch is, too, the goals is he's almost up to a career high. I believe he's 2 away, if I'm not mistaken. But the other things, Lindy Ruff, when he his first press conference said, it's the one percenters I'm looking for, the things that make a difference in a hockey game, those little things that turn a loss into a win. Not only does Alex Tuch lead the league in shorthanded goals, he leads the league in forwards in blocked shots, and he's 5 away from setting the NHL record. And he also leads the league in takeaways for forwards. His ability to do that just boggles my mind. I've never seen anything like it in hockey, where he can just sneak up on guys and continually sneak up on guys. You'd think they'd know he's on the ice and he does that. And steal pucks from them. Or just simply out-battle them and steal pucks from them. And he talked about, I chatted with him for the pregame about it yesterday, and he said one of the things he has is a longer stick than most. Mm-hmm. And it really helps him in both categories of stealing pucks. And he goes, a lot of his blocked shots come from his stick, you know, where, you know, he gets the stick in a way and blocks the shot. So that was something that he revealed, that, you know, he uses that longer stick to help him in both areas. But that's what makes him so valuable, is not only just the goals that he scores and the way he kills penalties and he can play on the power play, but the way he does the little things that help you win hockey games.
Paul, why is he not a Selke candidate? I don't think he's ever received a vote from what I'm looking at.
Well, he hasn't always been like this. He also, right? When we discussed this yesterday, talked about how it's something that he really has been working on the last couple of years. Because
he should get some votes this year, though, I think, after everything you just said.
Yeah, because he said the reason being, goes, you're not always going to be on a hot streak. So he goes, when you're not scoring goals, you have to do other things to help the team win. And he thought those are the areas he needed to improve on. And if he could get better in those areas, then he's always going to be a valuable asset, whether the puck's going in the net for him or not, because of those other things that he's doing. And at 29 years old, certainly you don't want to give him an 8-year contract extension. But, you know, with what he's doing, I certainly would feel that he's probably a $7, $8 million hockey player. But you don't want to sign a guy to age 37. So how many years do you sign a guy like that who's that valuable for you? Because, you know, you're starting to get an old age at 30 as a hockey player. A lot of players start losing it at 30. Not all. Alex Ovechkin didn't lose it at 30. Hasn't lost it at 39. Jaromir Jagr didn't. I mean, Sidney Crosby hasn't. But, you know, many do. So, you know, what does that contract look like? And for how many years, you know, when they are able to sign him to an extension?
Sabres back in action against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who they're close to being, I don't think they're officially out. They're not right now, but they will be very shortly, it feels like. But if the Sabres win that game, they'll be within 1 point of both Columbus and the Islanders. And, oh, by the way, and the Rangers and the Red Wings. So you have 79 for the Rangers, the Wings, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, Sabres at 76. Paul, it's conceivable the Sabres finish, like, literally as the first team outside the wild card. It's conceivable at this point.
Well, through all these years, I've always said you're not going to get all the teams to go into the tank for you, and they never have until now. They all did.
Except the two teams you needed,
the
Montreal
two teams
or Ottawa.
In. Yeah, but the rest of them did. And it's a very weird situation that they all do that for you, that you could vault up the standings rather quickly if you had more games to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even though the favor was done for them, it was just too late for the Sabres. And many folks are, you know, they write me and say, well, what are they doing? They should be losing. Get the draft pick. And
No.
They've done all that. They have their prospects now. They have too many prospects. They have all these prospects.
Trade the
good.
Damn pick anyway.
Right.
I don't care where it is.
Right. All these prospects that they have, they don't have enough room on the big club to put them on. So now they're capital. You use them for trades. You use them to make your team better, to get those veterans that you need. To me, what Lindy Ruff is doing right now is much, much, much more important than having the number one overall pick or the higher pick in a draft that isn't as good as many drafts have been. They have enough of it. They've got picks down in Rochester, high picks that are progressing, and you know you got to find roster room for those guys or move them to get assets that can help you win now. It's their focus is now, not, well, let's go get a guy who can be a Sabre in 3 or 4 years. No, to me, that part of the rebuild is over. The let's get a lot of draft picks and draft them and develop them. That's done. Now's the next step. And they didn't take it this year. They absolutely have to take it next year. And if Hellenius who I think is going to be a good player. He's starting to roll down in Rochester, or even a guy like Austin, who I have been thoroughly impressed with. But if those guys can get you a good veteran defenseman that you can pair with Owen Power, who can like be his guy and cover his back and always be there for him, so be it. Off the youngsters go, and let's get that guy in here.
All right, Paul, real quick, I got 20 seconds left. Are they just going to shut Joshua Norris down for the year? He hasn't played.
All they keep saying is day-to-day. You know, he's been on the ice, and they keep saying day-to-day. So Lindy Ruff basically, you know, just that's. I think he's tired of answering the question, so he never says too much about it. It's just, well, he's skating today, and we'll see. You know, it's still day-to-day. So they haven't given up. Kozak, probably not. It didn't sound like if he did get back, maybe the last game. But he does sound like he'll be okay for the Rochester playoffs. But it just he's running out of games as far as getting back to the Sabres.
Thanks, Paul. Got to run. Appreciate it.
Take care.
You got it. Paul Hamilton right there. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax, we got this. I got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. Matt Bove at the top of the hour on our podcast interview with Mike North, the schedule maker for the NFL. It was that year? Oh, here you go. Josh has it.
Pitbull, Naya, Neo. That's right.
Pitbull was big in 2011. He's still kind of big. What is this? Give Me Everything?
Yep, with Neo.
And this was, yep, you got it. Number five on the 2011 top Billboard charts. Billboard top charts, whatever you want to call it. Year end Hot 100, I guess, is what it is. Give Me Everything by Pitbull. And yeah, the song's still rocking in the club. You go out, right? I think. I don't know. I'm old now. Haven't hit the club in a while. I was on a cruise ship at a club, though. I think they played this song. All right. I'm talking too much. I got to go to another break. We went a little long with Paul, so we got to get to a break now. And when we come back, Matt Bove, WKBW TV Channel 7 Sports Director, and my co-host, and it's always game day in Buffalo, we have recorded our annual podcast with Mike North, VP of Broadcast Planning for the NFL, head schedule maker. We're going to talk about that and also his thoughts on the Bills and Sabres as well as we creep closer to the NFL draft coming up in just a couple of weeks. Sal Capaccio with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Tom Brady on first down has it deflected and picked off. Intercepted by Florence. Florence is in for the touchdown.
We are revisiting the year 2011. That was a great highlight for Buffalo sports. The Bills beating the Patriots at home. Fred Jackson running out with the flag afterwards. Walk off. Bill Belichick really mad. The way it all went down. Bills were down big. They come back. They started off the season 3-0. Big comeback against the Raiders and then again against the Patriots. And of course, underneath all of it, Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO. I mean, the number two song on Billboard's charts in 2011. And why are we talking about 2011? It's the last time the Buffalo Sabres made the playoffs. 14-year playoff drought is confirmed now after last night's win. They did officially still get eliminated because the Canadiens also won, so the Sabres will not make the playoffs for a 14th straight year. Matt Bove, WKBW TV Channel 7 in Buffalo. What were you doing in 2011, the last time the Sabres made the playoffs, pal?
Well, in 2011, I remember I was watching the Sabres playoff games with my friends who went to Canisius in their dorm rooms because I was in college. And then the play that you just started the segment with, the Drayton Florence interception, I was in the stands for that. I had Bills season tickets. So that was probably up until 2019 or 2020, the most fun moment I have witnessed inside that stadium. I mean, I remember a couple weeks later, they beat the Eagles at home, and I think they went to 4-1. And I remember talking with my friends after the game and being like, oh, it's not just that they're making the playoffs. They're going to be hosting home playoff games. And then what did they lose, like 7 in a row a couple weeks later after that?
Yeah, I'm going to look at their reference page right now. They started off so great. They started off hot. They win at Kansas City. They come home to Oakland, New England. You're right. They beat the Eagles. They go to 4-1, and then they lose at the Giants. They win against Washington. There you go. Lose, 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 lose. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And yeah, then it all changed after that, no doubt. Crazy.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous year. And then I think they finally won on Christmas Eve, right, against Tim Tebow. It was like Tim Tebow magic game.
Yeah, 40-14 against the Denver Broncos. And they lost to get the Patriots at the end of the season as well, by the way.
Just incredible to sometimes look back on the drought years about how far the team has come, because now it's like, oh my goodness gracious, they lost 4 games. And it was like, man, what we were going through in the early 2010s.
No doubt about it. And then, of course, with the Sabres, 2011, last time they make the playoffs. By the way, I was saying earlier, Matt, the Jets, actually, their last playoff game was before that, so they still have the official longest drought. That was January 23rd of 2011, the Jets in the AFC Championship game. And then 3 months and 3 days later, the Sabres play their last playoff game, which is now a 14-year drought. The Sabres back in 2011, I mean, obviously, you know, they lose. They come home here. They lose that game 6 against the Philadelphia Flyers on Easter, and then they go to Philadelphia and lose game 7. And who would have thought 14 years later we'd be wondering when they'd ever get back again?
No, and I thought, I probably was guilty of it like a lot of people, I thought they were going to fix it almost immediately, because after that game they signed Ville Leino in the next offseason and they got Christian Ehrhoff as well. And I was like, oh, these are two players who I think could really shape out the roster. They might have the next year started overseas. It might have been when they went to Finland and started. And I think they won a couple games over there. And it was like, hey, this team might be good. And then, you know, that just, if only we knew then that it was about to be a 14-year playoff drought. And, you know, it's not like I'm super confident that they'll fix this. So probably could be a 15-year play. We'll see, I guess. But, you know, I've said this before. I've told you this. The Sabres drought is exponentially worse than the Bills drought. It is incredibly difficult to be this bad in hockey for this long, but they have somehow figured it out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Before we get to our conversation with Mike North on the podcast and the NFL schedule stuff, this Sabres team, a nice win last night. They've won 8 of their last 9. Reimer's playing really well, obviously. I just had Paul on a little while ago, and I'll reiterate my question in a different way to you that I asked Paul, basically. Like, how do you approach goaltending, seeing what you've seen with UPL this year and his struggles? Reimer at 37, does it even matter playing the way he is? And then Devin Levi having a nice season down in Rochester, whether or not he's ready to be up here full-time yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Goaltending is weird. There's a couple goalies who every single year are elite, but it really is a small group. There's probably 5 guys you can count on to be like, okay, they're going to be really good. So they give UPL the contract that they give them. And at the time, it wasn't the money that was a little concerning to me. It was the length. There was a 5-year contract. So I'm like, okay, that's a long time to commit because you don't know what Devin Levi is quite yet. Now, we've talked about this before. I know you think that Levi is kind of the goalie of the future. I tend to agree, but at the same time, it has been so inconsistent when he has been in the NHL. I do think next year he should probably be ready to make that jump, but I don't know if I would be confident enough rolling with him and UPL given the struggles UPL has had this year and given the inconsistent play we have seen from Levi. Now, the easy answer would be, okay, we'll keep James Reimer. Well, if you keep James Reimer, then who's going to be the guy who just barely plays? And then if that's the case, then you just probably have Levi continue to play in Rochester unless you go out and get a more established guy or a guy you think could benefit from a change of scenery. So I tend to think that UPL will be better than he was this year, because I can't really imagine him being worse next year. But I don't know if this team can once again bank on internal growth, because that's what we've seen the last couple of years, and it has not worked out for them. So goaltending is, to me, the biggest question of the offseason.
Matt Bove, WKBW-TV Channel 7 sports director here in Buffalo. Also, my co-host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the Odyssey podcast. You can find it wherever you pod. iTunes, Spotify, the Odyssey app, of course. And you can watch us at the Sal Sports YouTube page. So go to my YouTube page, at Sal Sports. You click subscribe. But either way, you can watch it, including the podcast we did last night with Mike North, yesterday afternoon, I should say. Our yearly tradition, talking with the NFL VP of broadcast planning. It's up now, an hour and a half long. It's like a movie, Matt, but I'll tell you, we've heard from so many people who say, you know what? They just love listening to it wherever they're going, whatever they're doing. You had a great story about someone listening while they're training for a triathlon, I believe it was. The hour and a half goes by pretty quick, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. For sure. If you're somebody who likes the schedule, I highly recommend the listen. And I'm saying that as somebody who enjoyed the listen before I was even part of the conversation, back when you used to just do the podcast with Mike North. I'm a schedule sicko. I think about the schedule way before I should be thinking about the schedule, and it has been something that has been in my mind for the last couple months. We're about a month away from figuring out actually what's going to happen, but I love trying to put the pieces together and taking the little hints that he gives along the way, because I think that's important. And I think everybody, if you listen to it, everybody will take away something, but I think there's hints, and those hints can kind of lead you to educated guesses on what we might see for the Bills this upcoming season.
All right, so just so everybody's clear, you know, Mike, he doesn't even know the schedule right now, and we can believe as much of that as you want, but they really do keep going through a lot of permutations, like thousands and thousands of them, essentially. And even if he did know some things, he's not going to reveal exactly what's happening. I mean, they're not going to do that with us on the podcast, but he does give you, as Matt said, some clues. So all of that being said, did you have a biggest takeaway for the league or the Bills from our conversation yesterday with him? Was something that you walked away going, you know what, that was maybe the most interesting thing that he said that I took away from this?
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you were also, I want to know how you interpreted it. I think after hearing him, I feel pretty confident the Bills are going to play on Christmas this year. My takeaway from that conversation was, I won't be surprised if they go overseas, but I think that they're going to play on Christmas. So I think for Bills fans, that is probably the most pertinent information, at least from kind of the way he explained it. Because, you know, he kind of told us a couple different times, don't be surprised if the Bills go overseas. Don't be surprised if they play the Steelers in Ireland. But the way he talked about the Bills, and hey, you know, they haven't played on a holiday in a couple of years, they can kind of carry the audience. I know the NFL loves a spectacle, and I know they want snow on Christmas. I also know that I think they'll end the regular season at home just because of the last week in the stadium. You can't predict what happens in the playoffs. So it feels like naturally, oh, you could fit a Christmas game in, then a couple weeks on the road or a week on the road, and then close out the season at home against one of the division opponents. So I'm almost expecting it at this point that it would be a Christmas game in Buffalo.
Okay, my interpretation... Good question, and I'm glad that you interpreted it that way. I think that it's very possible they play on Christmas. I would throw in there, I think I'm confident they'll either be on Christmas or Black Friday. I'm going to throw those two in together. Mm-hmm. I think the way he talked, that it could also be there. But there's only one Black Friday game, and there are three Christmas games. So I think naturally, just by the numbers, Christmas would be more likely, right? But yeah. I do think that either one of those is very possible for the Bills. I would say this, my biggest takeaway from that type of realm would be when I asked him about where Josh Allen's status is and how, even though last year he was already the superstar and the league wants to put him on, has he elevated even more being the MVP on the cover of Madden, marrying Haley Steinfeld? His word was undoubtedly. Yeah. Matt, I think they're going to have even fewer 1 o'clock games this year. They had seven last year. That's it. Seven out of 17. I think they'll have fewer than that this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of the 4:25 windows or the 4 o'clock games, which, you know, I think Bills fans are now used to after the last couple of years. But I think about specifically their home opponents. Like, they're not playing the Ravens at 1 o'clock. They're not playing the Bengals at 1 o'clock. They're not playing the Chiefs at 1 o'clock. They're not playing the Eagles at 1 o'clock. Realistically, there'll probably be a couple home primetime games mixed in. The only ones that I could really see them playing at 1 o'clock are probably the division games and then maybe the Saints. Maybe the Saints is a 1 o'clock game. But I will also say we need to look at context clues, and let's look at the last couple of years, because the last couple of years when the schedule comes out, there's always one or two primetime games that surprises us collectively. A couple of years ago, they host the Broncos in primetime. They host the Bucks in primetime.
Buccaneers.
And a lot of us were like, whoa, like, that's interesting. And then last year, week three, they host the Jags in primetime. Mike had a good answer about this yesterday. The Bills used to be the fun opponent. Now they're the team that carries the matchup. So I won't be shocked if when the Bills schedule comes out, it's like, oh, the Bucs are coming here for a Monday night football game and the Saints are coming here for a Thursday night football game or something weird. I just realistically am thinking probably 2 or 3 1 o'clock games at home is my ceiling. And that could be the first game and the last game.
Yeah, that's a good point, because those teams, not necessarily the Bucs, because they've been pretty good. They were in the playoffs last year, but a team that's a lesser team in the NFL that's on the Bills' schedule, they're in a position now the Bills used to be in. And the league used to have a rule where every team had to be on prime time. They don't anymore, but every team pretty much is at least once, I think, now anyway. And I think what you're saying is right, Matt, which is if you're going to say, okay, we got to find a spot to put the Panthers. Let's say it's the Panthers here. We got to find a spot to put the Panthers. Well, you know what? Put them against the Bills. The Bills will be the anchor. Like, you could see something like that, right? Like, that could be a Thursday night matchup, Buffalo at Carolina. What are we doing here? Well, you need to get the Carolina Panthers on in some way. Why not against the league MVP? Because he's going to carry it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I think, just based off of the opponents that they play, the Bills' home schedule is a lot more intriguing. The matchups are a lot more intriguing, and the games are also going to probably be more competitive. I think we'll see a heavy dose of like 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games on the road, but I think those 4 o'clock and primetime games are going to kind of lean more in favor of the home part of the schedule. So there's the working theory of, hey, you get 6 primetime games, whatever it is. I could see the Bills being either at 5 or 6 primetime games, but probably with at least 3 of those being at home and then another big chunk of the 4:25 games. Because you look at the road schedule, besides the division, you know, like, yeah, you could make the argument of, hey, you could put the Panthers in primetime on a Thursday night, or you could put the Browns in primetime against the Bills on Monday night. But the obvious candidates are the Steelers and the Falcons. Those are the ones that I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right, I'm glad you brought up the Browns. They are playing a game in London. They're hosting. The Bills are a team on their schedule to go to Cleveland. It's been assumed, by me included here, for a while, that there's no way the Bills are going to play a division game internationally because the NFL doesn't do that. Well, Mike kind of threw some water on that. Now, I'm not here to tell everybody that all of a sudden the Bills' high likelihood they're playing the Dolphins in Spain or the Jets in London. But we've been talking so much about the Steelers in Ireland, let's at least leave some space for Dolphins in Spain, Jets in London, Browns in London, because the Bills are the opponent on all those teams' schedule that they could wind up being the opponent, I should say, on all those teams' schedule. I still don't think it's as likely, but he did say we have played division games internationally and we will do that.
Yeah, I don't think they would do the Dolphins game personally, just because it feels like that rivalry and how many Bills fans go to Miami every year. You know, like, it's not impossible. But after the conversation we had, I think the most likely outcome would be of the international games, definitely the Steelers. But I also don't think it would be crazy if they played the Jets overseas. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see it happening because, once again, the Bills can be the anchor. Like, how many people overseas are like, oh, yeah, I'm excited to watch the Jets? Probably not a ton, no disrespect intended. But a lot of them would be like, oh, yeah, I want to watch Josh Allen. So that's why I could see that scenario. Bills, Browns, I guess. But to me, like, that just screams Sunday 1 o'clock. You know, I say that and it probably won't be. But that to me is just like a prototypical Sunday 1 o'clock game where then in the later window, I'm sure the Ravens or the Bengals are probably playing on 4:25 on CBS.
Yeah, I agree. What did you take away from you asked him, Matt has the theory that I agree with about Aaron Rodgers. You could explain it here. And what did Mike say? And what do you think about the possibility of the Bills playing the Steelers in London and Ireland? Excuse me.
Okay. So my theory is, and I didn't do a great job of explaining this on the podcast. So if you've listened to the podcast or if you don't yet, this should hopefully help. It had been initially reported that it was going to be Steelers and Packers in Ireland. And that had been out there for a couple weeks, a couple months, like from very legitimate outlets. Well, once all of the Aaron Rodgers kind of drama started swirling with the Steelers, my theory is there's no way you would play Aaron Rodgers against his longtime team, the Packers, in Ireland at 9:30 in the morning on NFL Network. That is it's not Brady going against the Patriots, but it's pretty close for how long he was with the Packers. That to me is a week 4 Sunday night football game. That is not a week 5 Sunday morning game in Ireland. So if Rodgers does go to the Steelers, I think that opens up a new opponent for the Steelers to play in Ireland, because you're not going to put the Packers in that window. So we already know the Bills are going. We know that some lawmakers from Buffalo wrote a letter to the NFL suggesting that the Bills play in Ireland because there is such a strong Irish heritage here in Western New York that people would love to go make that pilgrimage to Ireland to see their favorite football team and to go see the homeland. So I just – and then he didn't pour cold water on it. Like, I think it's a real possibility.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. I feel like Bills, Steelers, if it is Aaron Rodgers, is somewhere big, though, right? If Rodgers goes to the Steelers, I don't think – now, I would say big could also be an opener, right? He actually kind of mentioned that, like, as if it is an opener, like, kind of a little bit a thing there. But I don't think that's a random Sunday 1 o'clock game, unless it's week one.
Yeah, I mean, he also mentioned Black Friday, which I could see. And then I asked him if you could play on Black Friday and Thanksgiving, like one of those days, and then also play on Christmas. And he said, you know, you could conceivably. So if they're going to play on the road on Black Friday, I could see it being Bills against Steelers. The one thing that I'm a little skeptical about, though, is that with Aaron Rodgers, with his age, I feel like they might try and front load the schedule for his primetime appearances, not knowing if he'll be able to play the entire season. Because, you know, betting on him at this point, playing an entire season back to back after playing last season, basically in its entirety, feels a little risky.
He's got to make a decision soon, right? I mean, what if Mike North said basically like early May 13th through 15th, they're targeting. There's no way, Matt, we could be sitting here and not knowing if Aaron Rodgers is playing by then, right?
It's Aaron Rodgers, man. We don't know anything with that guy. He just wants people.
What do you do then? What do you do then if you're the league?
He wants people talking about him for as long as humanly possible. And he could make his decision in August, for all we know, and be like, you know what? I do want to play. Here I come, Pittsburgh, and join them halfway through training camp. Nothing with him is impossible.
No, and if it gets to that point, I don't know how they're going to handle the schedule for sure. But a lot of stuff in the podcast we did with Mike North, no doubt about it. And real quick on the stadium thing, I got the feeling, Matt, that, you know, they're going to – he basically said, look, it's something we have to be mindful of. We're not building our schedule around the stadium last year. And because of what you said, like, you don't actually know when the last game is going to be, right? Like, you could think about what it might look like, but let's be honest. We know it's a division game week 18. If they're home, they're playing one of the – division teams in the last game scheduled for the stadium. But guess what? We're all hoping that they have extra games after that anyway.
Telling you right now, just a hunch. Last game is Bills Patriots in week 18, because I think the league views the Patriots now as potentially the biggest threat in the AFC East. I could see that being a TBD game on the schedule in Orchard Park. Patriots come into the Bills. There's the built-in storylines of, ooh, Stefon Diggs, could he keep his team from winning a title or for potentially going to the playoffs? And who knows what that team is going to be. They're probably going to be playing for something. And I think the league also wants Week 18 to be in Orchard Park just because you can't predict what's going to happen in the playoffs. Like, I mean, what if something happens? It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Bills have a slip-up season and – you know, I don't want to say miss the playoffs, but like, what if they are a wild card team and they're going on the road? Like, you know, it shouldn't be a foregone conclusion that they win the division every single year. It's not easy to do.
I've been thinking more Dolphins for this, but I agree with you the way you're thinking, like how they might piece all of that together. All right. You and I are going to talk a lot more about, go ahead.
The reason I didn't say the Dolphins is because I think if they're hosting a game on Christmas, that would be the opponent.
Oh, I love it. You got some
Christmas
night
the snow, like they did a couple years ago on that Saturday game. I think you have Ryan Fitzpatrick with your Amazon crew there. They did the game last year, the Amazon game. It'll draw a big number. The Dolphins will probably still be, you know, lurking around in the playoff picture. Give me Dolphins Bills Christmas night on Amazon at 8:15.
We did talk with Mike North about how they do the week 17 flex scheduling, the week 18 stuff that goes on, and everything with the NFL schedule. Always a great listen. And Matt, you got a lot of stuff going on leading up to the draft as well over at WKBW TV, Channel 7, over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, for sure. If you're somebody who is in Western New York listening to this, the actual draft itself will be on Channel 7. Our coverage for the draft begins at 7:30. We'll have a pregame show with myself, Howard Simon, and Joe Biscaglia talking about all the prospects, all the different things we should think the Bills should do. We'll be joined by Brandon Bean on that show, so that's always interesting. It's his last interview before the actual draft, so that's fun. And then, yeah, you know, we're now unfortunately getting ready for the end of hockey season next week, and you know, whatever twists and turns may come with that.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Always appreciate it. Great job yesterday in the podcast. People have been tweeting us all morning. They love it. So we love doing it. And I know that. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate you.
All right. You got it. That is Matt Bove. Matt_Bove on social, on Twitter. Check him out. He not only is obviously a great follow, but he's been tweeting out some clips for our podcast with Mike North. I have as well at Sal Sports. You can find that interview, the podcast, the video version. We put graphics up on the screen. You can see Mike. People were joking, is Mike North in jail? He's wearing like this orange shirt and he's in like his little small office. It's kind of funny, but it's really just a fun listen. And maybe you're not as much into the schedule stuff. I've heard from people over the years go, why do people care about so much with the schedule? It's just a schedule. Like, I don't know, because people plan. There's only, well, if you count preseason, 20, but there's only 17 of these weekends a year that you're planning your life around as a football fan, right? That's why it's a big deal. And are you going to some other country you haven't been to and your football team is playing there? Are you playing on a Monday night somewhere at home where it's a longer weekend and people can come by and you can have this, gathering of your friends and family? There's a lot of different reasons why. So I am a big schedule nerd and schedule geek, and that's why I love it. So is Matt, and that's why we love talking to Mike North. Check it out wherever you pod, audio-wise, at Sal Sports on YouTube. When we come back, I can get a little bit more into this, just some things that I thought interesting about the schedule from Mike North as well. But we have about we have a little time. We haven't taken any calls today. If you'd like to do that, 803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. At some point, we got to talk about the draft, right? We're going to start doing that as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and on WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture.
On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin?
Like somebody tweeted me earlier and said we're making him relive his youth. There's another song to do that. Somebody, who was that? Let's see. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We got Frankie. He says, all these songs from 2011 are really making me miss my youth. There's another one. This is Katy Perry. This is Firework. You know what I think about this song? Turn it up a little bit. I'll tell you what I think about this song, what it reminds me of. Okay, so do you know what I think about when I hear this song? I think about her performance in the halftime of the Super Bowl. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do. There was a lot of memes that came out of that one, actually. The left shark that became...
Yes, yes, that's the same one.
People dressed up as the shark for Halloween that year, or the next year. I remember that.
Yes, that was a great performance, actually. It was a really cool halftime show. And that was the Patriots beating the Seahawks when they didn't hand the ball off to Marshawn.
Oh,
that's that Super Bowl.
That was that year. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Wow.
So Katy Perry does the Super Bowl halftime show that year. By the way, that was in 2015, so the 2014 season. I mean, that's 11 years ago we're talking now, right? Who would have known and thought we were still a good 3 years. Well, 3 years later, the Bills finally, you know, broke the playoff drought. So, you know, we were getting closer to it. But I mean, the Patriots were in the middle and or towards the end or whatever of their dynasty. They were still winning championships. Seahawks were there. That was a famous game, obviously, for how it turned out. Katy Perry. So the reason why I remember the halftime show with her, she was on top of this star that kind of flew through the air. And it was that star that's the more you know. Remember that more you know thing? The more you know.
Yeah,
it's like the exact same star. That's how I remember that. And I think about it. And she sang kind of this song, Firework, because they had fireworks as a trail for the star as she's flying through the air when this is happening.
We need to get back
that
to
was
that kind
in
of
in Arizona,
halftime.
By the way.
That's like an elite Super Bowl halftime performance in terms of the
it was amazing.
The pyrotechnics and all sorts of stuff like that. Like the coordination, like that's the stuff we need to get back to. Like, no more of this just one stage in the middle. Like, just start doing crazy stuff like that.
Lenny Kravitz and Missy Elliott also were a part of that halftime performance by Katy Perry. Go watch it if you get a chance. It's Super Bowl XLIX, okay? So that would be Super Bowl, let's see, 50, she's 39? I have to think about it now. They run in my head, and I look at these numbers. I used to be very good at quickly adding Roman numerals. I know how to do it, but I'd have to, I think it's, see, it's 10, that's it's 40, 49, sorry, 49. XLIX, 49. Can you do Roman numerals? Did you ever learn that
no,
when you were
anything,
younger?
Anything past 10, and I'm done.
It's 49. I learned, I think, honestly, I kind of learned Roman numerals because of Super Bowls when I was a kid. Like, that got me to learning them a little bit. So I took Latin for 4 years in school, believe it or not. And when I tell people, like, I say, what, you know, did you take a foreign language? Yeah, I took Spanish or I took French. I'm like, I took Latin. You can't go talk to somebody in Latin. It's a dead language. But I always tell people, and it's true, like, my English became better because of taking Latin, because so much of what we say is from Latin roots with words, and you can kind of figure out where it comes from. If you have you hear something, oh yeah, a lot of Latin is printed on our money, e pluribus unum, you know, one of many, things like that, right? You got semper fi, always faithful, always prepared, semper fidelis, semper paratus. I'm just going down the rabbit hole here, but seriously, that's like the Marines motto. It's all Latin. Our language is super Latin based. And when I took Latin, we also did this, Roman numerals, right? So you kind of learn that as well. So I had a bit of a base in it, but really it was from the Super Bowls learning all of this. And this one was XLIX. You can go watch it. Super Bowl halftime show if you want to hear see the Katy Perry performance. The reason why we're talking about it today is 2011 was when that song became really popular. What was that, number three that year, right, Josh? Number three on the Billboard charts?
Yep, that was number three. She also had number four with E.T.
Okay. Oh.
She was tearing it up that year. She also had number 15, number 14 with Last Friday Night. That one's a bop. I remember that song.
When did Roar come out?
Ooh, I think that came out in like 2014 or 15. Let me look
here. I'm going to look at this as well. Katy Perry, Roar. That was a big
2013.
Song.
2013. So oh, a couple
okay,
years
so
later.
A couple
she
years had a, later.
She was on a heater for 3 years there. That's a lot.
Oh my God, yeah. If you ever want to see something really funny, it's going to make you laugh a lot. Go YouTube. I don't know if you can find the full things. I think they did some copyright stuff where it was gone, but I think you could still find most of it. Go YouTube. Will Ferrell and who's the actor he was doing it with? It was on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show, and they did a lip sync competition. And Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart does Roar as part of the lip sync. It's amazing. It's great. And Will Ferrell is incredible as well. And he does, one of his songs he does is Frozen, from the song Frozen, or from the show Frozen.
You mean Let It Go? Song.
Let It Go. There you go. Let It Go. Yeah. So he does it. Anyway, if you really want to have a good time and laugh, every like few months, my wife and I literally go and watch this just because it's so, so great. And we laugh about it. And Kevin Hart's amazing. But anyway, that song by Katy Perry, Roar, is what Kevin Hart does on the lip sync competition with Jimmy Fallon. And there's even a more, I'm not going to give you the whole like going to reveal, but there's a surprise in there and someone shows up and it's very cool. So check that out. In 2011, Katy Perry was number three. The Sabres played their last playoff game in 2011. And they will not play another playoff game again this year. 14 years since the last time the Sabres played in the playoffs. And they are officially eliminated from this year's playoff race once again. So we know that. They're playing very well. They won 8 of their last 9 games. But they're not in the playoffs once again for the 14th straight season. Okay. We need to congratulate some people. Do you remember a few weeks ago? I'm sure you do, Josh, because we did it. We had a great, fun time with it. I created an NCAA bracket pool, a tournament pool for people. And I said, hey, you can go here. You can sign up. And there were so many people we were getting. I said, oh, my God, if we get to 600, I will up the prize. And we did. We actually had over 1,000 people sign up, but 694 completed brackets. How cool is that? 694 completed brackets. And I said, if we got there, what I would do is the winner would get a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Second place would get a $50 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Third place, $25 gift card to the shop. All just out of the courtesy and, you know, just generosity of my own heart here. Because I just wanted to have some fun and have some people sign up and have a reason to play and compete. And we did it. So congratulations to our winners. Now, there were actually 7 people who tied for the most points. 7. The most points was 310. I reward upsets. You had to have some upsets if you wanted to kind of get some points. But in this tournament, there were no upsets, really. It was all chalk. Very few upsets. Everybody near the top. You have to scroll down to place number 16 to get to anybody who didn't have Florida winning at all. Because there were so few upsets, you just had to have the winners. And we all know the number one seeds all made it. So, here are your winners. Reveal, I am a drummer. I'll do it on the mic. Here we go. Here are your winners. Jeffrey Podgers, 310 points and 122 on the tiebreaker for the total points in the game. Very close, very nice, good job. He is first place. Jeffrey, you are first place. You get the $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Timothy Wilson is number 2. Second place gets $50 to the shop. And Sean, I think it's Layston is how you might say it. Number 3 gets a $25 gift card. Now, for all of you, I will attempt to contact you through social, whatever. I'll find you. I'll look at your profiles. But you can also feel free to email me if that's you. sal@wgr550.com. We'll do a verification and all that before I send off to you via email and all those kinds of things. So it'll be an online thing where you'll get the card. So Jeffrey Podgers, Timothy Wilson, and Sean Layston. How did you do, Josh? Do you know where you finished?
Yeah, I finished in 152nd place.
All right. I like that. No, hey, that is not bad at all because I finished in 554th in my own pool.
Wow. That's rough.
It is. My wife, Yana, out of 694, finished 682.
Oh, no. That's
Do you want to know where Max finished?
If Max finished in the top 100, I'll be very happy for him. But that's I'll also be a little salty.
74.
Come on.
74. Come on. He did. Yep.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Amazing.
How many, we're watching how many points the game, did he have?
He had 254. How many did you have?
245. Oh, I was so close. Yeah.
There you go, 254. I only had 190. Yana had 139. She finished almost in dead last. She likes to pick some random games. She had St. John's winning it all. That was done early. I had Auburn winning it all. Max had Florida. So he didn't really want Florida, but as it got closer, he's like, Dad, I want Florida because I picked him. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, your bracket's looking pretty good. And sure enough, he finished in 74th place. So anybody 75 and above, you lost to my 11-year-old who finished in 74th. But that's okay because it is the NCAA tournament and anything can happen. Thank you so much to everybody who played. And next year we'll do the same thing. And hopefully we'll get even more than 694 completed brackets. But Jeffrey Podgers, Timothy Wilson, Sean Leston, thank you very much. By the way, shout out to Pete Sadler, Mark Post, Michael Opaka, Carl Vanderbrook, all of you tied for the actual points lead, but those three people had the tiebreaker closest, and that's why they get places 1, 2, and 3. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Wednesday as we head forward to the noon hour for Sabres Live here on WGR. We are celebrating the year 2011. Oh, her eyes make the stars look no, not because the ball is dropping and it's going to be 2012. I mean, come on. 13 years past that point. It's because it's the last time the Sabres made the playoffs. And this song, Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are, what number was this on the charts there, Josh? Where did this fit in?
This was way down, actually, compared to some of the songs we've been playing. This is 15.
This was 15. You know, I remember earlier I went through the movies, right? And I said these were the top movies. They were not the Academy Award winners of that year. The grossing movies and the Academy Awards are totally different. They can be the same, but pretty much, you know, totally different. And if you look at the Academy Award nominations from the year 2011, so the 2012 Academy Awards, Best Picture. You had The Descendants, you had Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse.
Moneyball and War Horse. That's two top-tier movies right there.
Yeah, for sure. Couple sports movies, right? War Horse was... No, which one am I thinking of? This is a novel, the same number of stage adaption. I have to go back and look exactly what the movie was about. I was thinking about something.
Oh, War Horse was about a specific... I actually don't remember if it's a true story or not, but it was about a specific horse in World War One.
Okay.
Like the following story of a war horse in World War One, essentially.
Yeah, my apologies. I thought it was one. There was another one that came out about maybe not Secretariat, but Man of War, maybe, I think, and I was confusing that. Moneyball, obviously, really good movie with Brad Pitt and the Oakland A's and, you know, about Billy Beane and how they built it. All right, Sabres live up next. Sabres have won 8 of their last 9. They are, however, not going to make the playoffs for a 14th straight year. Then, of course, it's One Bills Live. Show up in the Bulldog at 3. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.